All right, well, good morning. Hey, we also want to say good morning. I don't know if you know this, but we recently started Facebook Living our messages and our Sunday morning worship. And so we know that we have some folks who are already tuning in this morning who can't be with us here. So we want to say good morning to those guys too. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. We are in the midst of a message series simply titled The Absolute Basics of the Christian Faith, where we are looking at 16 questions to help us understand the core basic tenets of the Christian faith, so that we will better know what we will be, what we believe, and so that we will be better equipped to share with others that which we believe. Every week during this message, we've been joining together in reciting the Apostles' Creed. Ever since the late 2nd and 3rd century, the church has joined together in professing what the basics of the Christian faith are. So I would invite you to join with me. It'll be up on the screen, and it's also in your bulletin. As we profess together this historic creed, let's join together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The basics. It is so good for us to go back periodically and to review the basics. Why? Because we are so prone to forget. Why? Because they form the foundation of our faith. Why? Because we need to be able to share with others why we believe what we believe and what we actually believe. The Bible tells us that we should always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have. So the basics are critical. They are foundational. They are so important for us, both as followers of Jesus so that we can grow in our faith, and as followers of Jesus so that we can share our faith with others. Knowing the basics are absolutely essential, because what we believe matters. God has revealed sufficiently to us in his word, everything that we need to know for salvation. It tells us in the Bible who God is. It tells us who we are. It tells us the kind of relationship that God wants us to have with him and with others. The scriptures are sufficient for us to come to a saving knowledge of Christ as he revealed himself. So what we believe truly matters, because our beliefs shape our behavior. They shape what we do, and they shape what we don't do. Our beliefs shape what we become, not just tomorrow, but in all of our tomorrows. What we think determines how we feel, and that determines how we act. And so what we believe is absolutely critical, because it shapes our behaviors and it shapes what we become. So we, as the people of God, are going to stand firm in acknowledging the Bible as our authority, believing that the Bible is the very inspired word of God, that we can trust it, that it is true, that it forms for us both the foundation as well as the boundaries for our faith. And so we want to know these basics so that we can grow deeper and stronger in our relationship with Christ, so that we can share with others again to the end. When the disciples asked Jesus how should they pray, and part of the Lord's Prayer is to pray that the kingdom of God would come on earth as it is in heaven. I believe the more we are equipped to know the answers, to know the basic tenets of the Christian faith, the more each one of us will do our part to be able to do that. Because God has so chosen to partner with us. He says, I want to use you, my people, to help usher my kingdom into your time and your space. So as followers of Jesus, we all have a job to do. As followers of Jesus, every single one of us, while we might not have the specific spiritual gift of evangelism, every single one of us is an evangelist. every single one of us is a missiologist, that we are going into unchristian and non-Christian environments, and we are supposed to be light in the darkness. We are supposed to bring the very word of God into these hurting and broken places. So it is critical for us to know these basics. If you look on the back side of your bulletin, you can see where we have been. We have worked through many of these questions. These questions are based on a book called The Absolute Basics of the Christian Faith by Phil Tallon. It's a book that David and I have been using for our confirmation class. It is a great primary for us to look at the questions and to come up with some succinct answers. Not all exhaustive. Nothing we have is going to be completely exhaustive, but enough that helps form that foundation that serves as kind of a launching point for us to have additional conversations with others. And so if you've missed any of this message, this series, you can watch it online. You can go to our web page and you can listen to the messages and see what are the answers to each one of these questions and how do we unpack them. But today we're going to talk about something that I absolutely love, something that I have committed my life to. It is the place where my faith was formed and forged. It is the place where my faith has constantly been reformed and reshaped. It is the place through which I met my wife. It is the place that I entrust my children to come alongside our family to help develop them in their faith. It is the place that I believe changes the world. It is the place that means so much to me that my prayer and my hope is that it would mean so much to you as well, that we would give our all, that we'd be a people so invested in that place that as we recognize what our part is in that place, that our force would become so strong that we'd literally take our community and beyond for Christ. What is that place? The church. The church. Question number 12 that Phil Tallon poses in his book is this one. What is the church? You remember the little thing, right? Here's the church, here's the steeple, open your hands, and there's, I can never do it. And there's all the people thing, right? Like we've heard these expressions that the church isn't the building, but the church is the people. But when we have a building, it kind of makes it easier to go. But trying to understand, so like, what really is the church? What does it mean to be the church? Why is the church so important? Those are some of the questions that I hope that we will answer today. But the answer to this question that Phil poses in his book, What is the Church?, is simply this. The church is the community of all true believers who are Christ's body in the world, continuing the work of the apostles. I'll give you a couple minutes to write those down. Following along with your notes and your bulletin, what is the church? The church is the community of all true believers who are Christ's body in the world, continuing the work of the apostles. In Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 5, says there is one body, the church, and one spirit. Just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. What is it that unites us in Christ? The church. But what is it? What is this thing that we call the church? Because you say, hey, I'm going to go to church, right? Or we're at church, or we're going to be in church. Well, what exactly is the church? Well, in the Greek, the word church actually comes from the Greek word ekklesia. You want to say that? Ekklesia. You learned some Greek this morning. That simply means It comes from the root words called and out of. So literally, the church is the gathering together of the people of God called by God out of the world. We are the called people of God. We are the gathered people of God. So whether we are the church that is worshiping today here at Faith Point, whether we are the church that is worshiping in one of the many places that's surrounding us or all over the world, the church is the place where the people of God, the called people of God, gather together to celebrate the mighty acts of Christ, to grow in their faith, to worship, and to give God the glory and the honor that he deserves. But the church is the gathering. It is the called out people of God into the world. So let's break it down a little bit. Because the church has gotten a lot of bad rap. There's actually a book that I read recently, long time ago, that said, I love Christ, but not the church. Well, that's really hard because what we know about the church kind of makes that really incongruent. But what is the church? Why is the church so important? Why is the church what I would say is absolutely necessary? I've had people ask me many times, well, can't you be a Christian and go to church? I don't believe you can. I believe the Bible speaks really clearly to that. I believe that each one of us don't possess all the gifts of the Spirit so that we have all the ability to do everything the church does. That we need to be the called out people together to represent the church so that we can be who we weren't, so that we can do things that we can't do on our own, so that we can be that force that literally comes and takes the world for Christ. So what is the church? Number one, the church is God's idea. Contrary to what many people think, they refer to the church as an institution. They refer to the church as a man-made thing. It is not a man-made thing. The church is God's idea. Actually, I would go so far as to say the church is God's ideal. It is his extension into the world. It is where his people gather together. We are part of God's idea. This is not our own. In his book, Phil Tallon says, being a Christian means being a member of Jesus's family. It means living in God's house and learning God's ways, right? When we come to faith in Christ, we don't stop, right? We got to keep growing and learning and knowing and doing and loving. And we do that in the context of the gathered, the called out, the people of God. We do that in the church. Ephesians 5:32 lifts it so high where Paul says, Christ and the church are one. That is the mystery, in essence, of the church, that Christ and the church are one. That means they are inseparable. That means that they function together, that they function really as one. And so we see clearly that the church is probably way bigger than what we've given it credit for. But the church is God's idea. In Colossians 1:18, it tells us that Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. You know, so when people say, well, who's your boss? I'm like, Jesus. Because that's where I work. And so Christ is the head of this thing. And so our job is to place ourselves under obedience to and submission to Christ, And to discover what it really means to be his called out, gathered people making a difference in his world. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus says, now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock, look what it says, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Clearly, the church is God's idea. Clearly, the church is Jesus's body. Clearly, the church has a role and a function in our world. And we are to place ourselves under Christ as the Lord of the church. So the church is God's idea. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:2. Paul writes, I am writing to God's church in Corinth, to you who have been called by God to be his own holy people. So the church is God's idea. Have you given your life, in a sense, to it? In our confirmation class this morning, one of our students said, well, what's the difference between like being a part of and being a member of? I'm like, that's a really great question. The difference between being a part of and being a member of is, I said, being a member is like you've signed on the dotted line. where you've said, I'm committed. It is the place where I'm saying, I am going to intentionally give and grow and serve Christ. It is the place that we literally give ourselves to be used by God in combination with everybody else so that we can achieve way more together than we could ever do on our own. So the church, contrary to what many people think today, it's God's idea. It's not ours. And Jesus says, I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not stand against it. So we see that the church is a powerful place that can make a difference in the world. So the church is God's idea. Number two, the church is God's incarnation. The church is God's incarnation. It's a big word. I chose it because it starts with an I and it just kind of fits with my rhyming. But it literally is the incarnation. What is the incarnation? It's when God took on flesh, right? It's when Jesus stepped out of heaven and stepped onto earth in flesh. And so what the church is that we are literally the infleshness or the flesh of Christ. We are literally his presence in our world. We are light in the darkness. We are hope to the hopeless. We are healing for the broken. We literally are the very presence of Christ in our world. Phil Tallon says in his book, through the church, Christ is present in the world. So it's not just us, but as the church, we are us with and as the presence of Jesus in our world. So when we're serving and when we're doing things, it's not just about what we're doing, but it's about what Jesus is doing through us in the world, because we as the church, in a very tangible way, represent the fleshness of Christ in the world. Ephesians 1:23 says, the church is Jesus's body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. So you see that we can't separate them. The church and Christ are inseparable. The church is literally the flesh, the presence of God in our world. So that means when we go once a month to Wayside Christian Mission, we literally are Jesus in that place. It means that when we go do any other type of mission or work or service, we literally are Jesus in those places. It means that when together as a church we are growing and serving and doing things, it's not just us that we're bringing into situations. We are literally bringing the very presence of Jesus into these places in our world. Because we as the church are the incarnation of Christ. We are Jesus with flesh on today. We are the hands and the feet. We are the mouth. We are the presence of Jesus in our world, making a difference. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Here's how I like to paraphrase that and put that. Is that as a believer in Jesus, if you are not actively living, loving, and serving in your church, something of God's is missing. That if together we represent lots of different parts that work together for the whole, if our part is not being used, then something of God's is missing. So whether God has called or equipped or blessed or gifted, however you want to put that, you with the ability to play an instrument, use your voice, run technology, run a sweeper, clean, teach in Kids Point, help out in the point, mow our grass, doing something for the body of Christ, your church, his church, something of God's is missing. that each one of us, if you're here today, and this is your part of Christ's church, you have a part to play. And if your part is not being played out or being used, something of God's is missing. And if something of God's is missing, what does that mean? It means we're not as strong and effective as we could be if something is missing. Paul uses this analogy all throughout Corinthians. He uses it in Ephesians. He says, it's like the body can't say to the rest of the body, the hand can't say, hey, I don't need you. Well, what would life be like if you didn't have one hand? Or the eye can't say, I don't need you. It is needed. And that's the way it is in the body of Christ, is that each one of us has a unique niche in the church. Each one of us has a role to play. And I guess I would just ask you this morning, are you playing your role? Are you doing what God has called you and gifted you to do to make a difference in this church? This is an extension of the church, which is his body. Because each one of us are part of that incarnation. Each one of us are part of that infleshness to be making a difference in the church. So the church is first, it is God's idea. Second, the church is God's incarnation. We are the physical fleshness of Christ in the world. And then number three, that means that the church is God's instrument. For some reason, God has chosen to use the church as his instrument, literally to bring his kingdom here on earth. What is our world supposed to look like? Heaven. And we're all supposed to do our part in that. The church is literally the instrument of God to bring healing and redemption and wholeness and to heal the broken, to feed the poor, to do all those things. We are the instrument. You know, I remember seeing this cartoon several years ago that was on one of my seminary's professor's door, and it was this person looking up to heaven and was asking God this question of, God, why haven't you sent somebody to do this, and it was about a particular issue. And God's looking down from heaven, and he's like, well, I have, that's you. See, we are God's instrument. We are supposed to be used by God to make a difference in the world. Phil Tallon says, it is through the church that Christ continues the work of the Father in the world. It is through us that God continues his work in the world. 1 Corinthians 12:27, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Each one of us is a part of it, and each one of us has a unique role to play in it. In Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. It's the charge to his people. It's the charge to his church. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. We have a job to do. We are the very hands and feet. We are the instrument of Christ in our world. Or you might think about it this way. Through the church, Christ is present in the world. His continual presence in the world is through us, through the church. That together, what are we doing? We're teaching. We're telling others about Jesus. We're telling others where to find hope. We're telling others where to find salvation. We're telling others the good news, right, about who Jesus is and what he has come to do and the life that we can have through him and because of him. The church is the presence of Christ in our world, teaching us healing. Bringing healing and wholeness to broken people, broken communities, broken places in the world. That God wants to use us to make a difference. And it might be that each one of us at some point need to stand in front of the mirror and just ask God, say, God, like, how do you want to use me? Like, really, have you ever prayed that? Like, have you ever just looked in the mirror, realizing that you are part of Christ's body, the church, that you are his in fleshness? And what would it look like if you looked right in there and said, God, how do you want to use me? Lord, help me to be your instrument in the world. That's a dangerous prayer. Because you know what? God may have you do something that you're like, I had no idea I could do that. Or that you think you can't do it. But where God calls, he always provides. He always equips. He always gives you everything that you need to do that which he's called you to do. So if you're sitting here this morning, I have no idea what my part is, what part I'm supposed to play in the body, ask. Ask God first and foremost. God, what is my part? How am I supposed to be your presence in this world? If you don't hear anything, come and ask me. I promise you, we can help you get deployed into some place of service. Because sometimes it means we try different things, right? We try something like, that wasn't good for me. Or we try something else, right? Man, I really like that. But we all have a part to play. We are the presence of Christ in the world, teaching, healing, sacrificing. We are giving of ourselves so that others might come to know the good news that in Christ we have forgiveness of sins, that we have salvation, that we have something beyond this time and space that's way better. That's why we call it the good news. Again, we're going to go back to Ephesians because I want to kind of share a couple more passages that are so powerful that talk about the church and the church being what does it mean to be God's idea, his incarnation, his instrument. Look at these words from Ephesians 4, 11 through 15. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. By the way, this is not an exhaustive, all-inclusive list. We see these lists several times throughout Scripture in other places with other lists. So this is to be an example of what Christ has given to the church. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be focused and blown around by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Isn't that an amazing picture? If we ever had the impression that we are not gifted or blessed in a way to make a contribution to God's work in this world, go back and read that passage. That God has specifically blessed and gifted us to make a difference. Phil Tallon puts it this way. The Bible shows that to be a part of God's family means that we have to take the whole package. We have to be under the lordship of Christ and the whole community of true believers continuing Jesus' work in the world. That's what we do. That's what we are. That God's not done with our world yet. He's not done with us, and he wants to use his church to continue his work, that the world would come to know him again, that his kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. What is the church at its best? If we are God's idea and his incarnation and his instrument, I have a picture for you a picture that we get right out of Scripture. It's kind of what I want to close with this morning. A picture of just how powerful and how present and how good and how amazing, how spectacular, how awesome that the church really can be. And we read about it in Acts chapter 2. In the book of Acts, the book of Acts is like part 2. The Gospels tell us about the coming of Jesus. And then Acts tells us about the church, how the physical presence of God continued in the world, and what the church did, and how the church multiplied and grew exponentially, spread all throughout the known world. What did it look like? What did it look like when the people of God gathered together? What was the picture that we get of just how powerful the church both was? I believe how powerful the church is, and at the same time, how powerful the church can be. So picture this as we read these words. Picture it in your mind. Here's what Luke writes in Acts. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And as a result of them doing that, look at the last verse. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. In other words, when the church does what the church is supposed to do, the very kingdom of God gets ushered in our world. People are saved. They are made right with God. The church is God's idea. We are His ideal in the world. The church is God's incarnation. The church is to be the very physical presence of God in our world. The church is the instrument that God has chosen to help usher in His kingdom, to bring about His kingdom in our time and space. I love the church with all my heart. I love the church, and I hope you do too. Let's pray.